listen about your sanity. Decision about the things you think you'll know. For every time I found out you were my knees, oh, this is redemption. For every time I shed my blood and tears, oh, this is redemption. So Jericho is coming down. We're gonna burn it down, down, down. For every time I lost my voice, oh, Lord, oh, this is redemption. Oh, this is redemption.
I'm back. The sound is back. The Trippers are back. It's the Day Trippers. Hello, everybody. We fixed the sound this week, and yes, you're going to have to listen to my stupid laugh. Right, so I'm back in the bunker, and I'm here. I'm joined by Steve-O and Andy and Dave. You'll know the voices by now because they've been covering while I've decided to take a bit of a holiday. So fair play to the lads, and thanks for coming in again tonight. So tonight up on the show, we're going to be dealing with the amazing win against Crystal Palace, where we came from behind to win 2-1. And Big Ben Heskey comes up with a triumphant at the end with a penalty. And what a penalty. And before that, then we smashed the back doors off Manchester City. Get the fuck in. Take that back with your League Cup. They should have just given us the League Cup after it happened. And of course, looming on the horizon, probably the two biggest games of our season, the Europa League ties against Manchester United. I believe the winner of that tie automatically qualifies for the Champions League because the rest of the competition is completely irrelevant at that point. But yeah, we'll talk tonight at length, as usual, about the games coming up. And of course, we'll dig out some Trippers chats. And by the way, some of the quality of the Trippers chats recently has been shite, but this week there seems to be a few better questions. So if we go off on a few parallels, well, you'll just have to deal with it. Right then, lads. Right. Let's get this underway. Yeah. So the Palace game. Let's start with the big talking point of the game. The impact of James Milner being sent off, because the game hinges on that decision.
An excellent decision by the referee.
In fact, the referee should get plenty of commendation for
actually,
his decision,
you know,
making.
Speaking about the referee, he actually had a great game, and I'm not talking about the penalty. I'm talking about, I thought he actually let a huge amount of stuff flow and wasn't arse pulling everything up for every single challenge. Mm. He gave yellows where they was deserved. Milner absolutely deserved his. I think Henderson deserved his, if memory serves me right, but Milner definitely deserved his too. Mm. Like, there was good cards where they were actually needed. Mm. Stupid challenges that didn't need to be made.
Milner could have gone for the first one. The first one was a terrible
Absolutely. They were both terrible challenges that he should have known he wasn't getting, and they were just rash. Yeah. And there were great decisions by the referee.
It was an easy refereeing game. There was no controversy. There was nothing. There was nothing debatable about that. Absolutely nothing debatable.
I agree. Nobody's debated it at all.
So it's not. There's no. There's absolutely zero controversy existed in that match. So that was the. That was a model game for a referee.
Yeah,
but you know what? So many of those games at weekends are like that, and they're turned into the referee show. You know what I mean? They set the tone early incorrectly, and then they have to follow that the whole way through the game.
Well, look at Michael Oliver in the Arsenal game, in the Arsenal Spurs game. You know, he sends O'Coughlin, that's the right decision, but then he doesn't send off Dyer.
Ramsey comes around and swipes him in the face at the same time. So before Dyer pulls the jersey, if memory serves me right, I'm thinking back to I was watching it and sort of keeping half an eye on it. I think there was sort of an infringement.
Watching it and keeping half
so,
an eye.
No, I was only
so two and a half
was,
eyes.
I was watching. I had my lad out.
I think it was Ramsey, but no, he's doing them like he's.
Of course he is, but what I'm saying is there could have been an infringement the other way for Spurs before Dyer pulls on that, if memory serves me right. So my thinking at the time was he's let it go because of that.
I need to say it again. At the time I just went, that's ridiculous.
The one thing that impressed me about the penalty decision was like, we knew he could.
Oh, we're back talking about the
but it's not debatable, Phil.
Because the bit that impressed me about the referee's handling of it was he clearly consulted with his linesman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, normally, like, you see.
He waved it away initially.
Or he pointed for
the goal. Yeah, he pointed for the goal kick, and then the linesman's over there doing. Go fucking mental.
Oh, I don't know why he's doing that, because he's got a buzzer on his fucking flag. He doesn't even have to wave the flag.
I think he might have been having an epileptic fit, I'm not sure.
Yeah. But he was like, I've given a penalty, I have to stick to
it. My arm was just itchy.
we've seen it so many times that when like the referee just ignores what the linesman says to him as well. Or the linesman bottles it when the referee doesn't give the penalty himself and just goes,
No one can complain, really. The thing about football is there's so many of those kind of decisions that even if there was a video referee, you're dependent on him to see it one way or the other. It's not black. It's not always black and white in football. The rules are really, really open to interpretation at times.
Yeah.
You know, so like to me, this contact, does it? You're always liable to give away a penalty, and it's your own fault.
If you slide in like that, you deserve someone to die. You deserve it because if it's the 95th fourth minute, you're gonna draw.
Yeah.
You know, and
don't
you,
go to ground why, there.
That's something that Skrtel would do, like Marino would do, right?
And you that just, we would be having.
If it was
an
against us, we'd be fucking going ballistic about.
We'd be
the
saying we actually deserve it for going to ground and being stupid.
I genuinely would. I'd be like, that's but a penalty.
You've got.
Said it in the fucking the final when I think it was Moreno tackled
Aguero. Yeah, it's a penalty.
Like, it's full on penalty.
What was even more mad about it was he literally was going nowhere. When you see where he knocked the ball,
he was going to run that out playing.
He might have got a ball whipped across.
But there was nobody in the box.
Yeah, it was going to be into the keeper's arms.
He could have shot from a tight angle or whatever. Nothing was going to happen.
I think Benteke did really well.
I think it wasn't one of those where it was a dead ball. No. The ball was still in play. He could have got another leg in it.
I didn't massively think he did really well. He still frustrates me. And I think I said it to you lads. It frustrates me how little he wants to get. He wants to be the furthest forward and be in the box for the attacks, which is where we've always seen his most prolific capabilities are for Villa. Not just for us. But in saying that, if you look at the amount of ball we gave to Origi in the time that he was on the pitch, you can't blame any of our strikers lately have been dropping deep to get on the ball because we're not playing balls that are of any use to them in behind a defence or even into their feet or putting in decent crosses.
The one thing about Origi when he's on the pitch, and it was the same in the City game that we won 4-0, like he's getting into the right positions. The Milner goal, he's right alongside Milner. He's there for us if Milner needs to square it as opposed to taking it on himself. He's following in the shots. And I suppose going back to your frustration with Benteke, that is the biggest frustration with him. He doesn't seem to be alert to what's going to happen next in the actual box. He doesn't seem to want to burst his bollocks to get in there in case something breaks and he can tap it in. Sturridge gets goals that way as well.
Yeah. Well, they're kind of hoping that we wondered at the start, could he adapt to the way Benteke.
Oh yeah.
To the way Rodgers had, like, you know, the way we wanted Rodgers to play the pressing game and everything else. And we kind of accepted that maybe it would become more of a thing where he was a plan B. Can he have a future under Klopp as a plan B? I mean, or is Klopp gonna always want to play the same way every single game?
Well, I think the thing that I think Benteke's gonna go. But what I would say in his defence is he scored 5 winners. He is single-handedly 14 responsible.
points he's accountable for.
Single-handedly responsible for 14 points. Like, that's, 30% of our points total for
the season? He's an ugly player. Yeah. Like, he's... Some women probably like him or whatever. he's the type of player people just don't like to see in a football pitch. They want players full of flair and full of step overs and tricks and all that. But unfortunately, players like Benteke, are effective. And Drogba and
if he wasn't
Lukaku
a £32 million player, you'd say you'd never sell him. You'd say, of course you'd have.
It couldn't have possibly went worse for him this season. Yeah. Yet he's won us 14 points.
Yeah. The one thing I say,
what's he going to do in a season where it goes okay for him?
Yeah. Well, let's.
Yeah, or he gets. I'm not necessarily certain he will go in the summer. You know,
I think he will. The one positive I would say is
his penalty.
Was a quality.
It was fucking quality.
Yeah, it was, and it took a lot of balls to step up and take it.
Because Rafa always used to say that the person that gets fouled shouldn't take the penalty.
Yeah, well, I think you remember we made such a big deal out of Balotelli one with Henderson. The cameras went off.
Yeah, because Henderson wanted it, didn't he?
It looked like there was a bit of a debate, I mean, if there is a debate, he has to be slaughtered for it because if Henderson's supposed to take penalties,
where the fuck was he?
We can't be slaughtering Balotelli, even though I did fucking despise him, and when it happened I wanted to give out because I think it's unacceptable for any player. But we didn't really see, the cameras didn't see in the show what went on, or was there any sort of major confrontation?
It could have just been a chat and said, listen, give me this one. I need this fucking goal.
Don't fucking miss it.
Yeah, and then you miss this, and I'm not backing you up.
It's a fucking great penalty in the 96th.
It's a quality penalty. And you know what I like about it? If you look at, say, Chan's Peno in the final, and he legs it up to the ball and he chips it down the middle, and his head is down the whole time. Now, if the keeper decides to stand up, he makes a fool out of himself. Because why? He wasn't looking at the keeper.
Yeah, it wasn't a good penalty.
He was just taking a chance. He was taking that chance that the keeper was going to dive.
Yeah.
He was filled him with the run up. Like, normally, if you're running up so fast and you're going to blast it into a corner, so the keeper anticipates it's going into a corner. But the only way to take a penalty, dink it down the middle, or do what Balotelli do, or
keep your eyes on the keeper.
Yeah, Benteke is to keep your eyes on the keeper and have the coolness and the, and that sort of clinicalness in your game to just pass it the opposite way. It's what Coutinho tried to do.
It's being able to change your mind. That if you're looking at the keeper and you see he's going the way I was going to go.
It's been able to change your mind at the last.
You need to be prepared. Like Benteke needs to be prepared for the keeper to stand up there.
And if he stood up,
he needed to be able to smash that into the corner a bit quicker.
Okay, let's move it on, because I want to get on to the increasing impact of Firmino on our team. Even down to the goal that he scores there, he's just alive to the danger, and it's a great finish. Like we've been bemoaning like missed one-on-one chances that we've taken.
Yeah,
it's clinical in the way.
And you kind of look across the team, and you don't really see that fit. You know, Sturridge is probably the only player who can react so clinically to an opportunity like that. So it was brilliant. It's when he got it at his feet and he didn't take the first time. Oh, here we go, I was thinking.
Yeah, you're waiting.
Because it was advantage keeper then. Yeah. Like the keeper went from having zero chance to, I'm back 50, in it, 50. I'm back in the game here.
Yeah.
But he strokes it under his arm, between his hip.
He's lucky in a sense.
I was going to say.
He is lucky in a sense. Like, it's not like he's put that just out of the reach of the keeper.
He's going through the keeper.
He does that again, the keeper gets that.
You know what happens if Suarez gets that chance? It's bent 6 feet out of keeper's way into the top into corner.
Sturridge puts that in the corner.
But it depends, because there is that part where an awful lot of strikers seem to score goals just on that, like
close to the keeper.
Yeah, close to the keeper. They go because they know the keeper are going to spread themselves like
a shite thing.
Yeah, exactly. And they know that they tend to leave that gap between the
but that's the difference between a player playing the percentages, which is what Firmino or those types of players do, and a player that just knows they can score, which is what Sturridge and Suarez would do. They'd go, I don't need to play the percentages because I can just put it there.
It doesn't matter what he does, he's not getting there.
He can fucking do whatever he wants to do. He's
top striker has put the ball into the side netting.
Yeah.
And the inside of the goal, obviously.
Yeah. look at Aguero's penalty as an example in the final, right? He puts that, like it lands in the side.
It's
a hell of a penalty.
Yeah, it's a perfect penalty.
That's what Aguero, and Aguero would have put that in the corner.
Yeah.
But we still have
he played well. He played very well.
Yeah, he's kind of a, he's so patchy.
Yeah,
Firmino. Like now, he works his whole off every game, which is good. But he was poor enough in the final, and then he was excellent then.
Yeah, like
in the follow up City game, and then he was decent. Well, Liverpool weren't great, but he was decent.
I'm still personally not seeing the, like, there's an Emre Can and Bobby Firmino jizz fest going on.
Don't fucking call him Bobby. Stop calling him these fucking nicknames. Where did that come from? He's fucking Brazilian. Jesus Christ.
This champion being called Jackie.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Is that who people were referring to Jackie?
Someone called him Jackie,
Should we use Jackie Chan in the intro to Wonder Pods before?
Yeah, but don't be calling him Jackie.
Like Marino's called Albi and Klein is called Nate.
You know, they're not teddy bears.
I swear to God, it pisses me off.
Yeah, I'll take back the Bobby.
Yeah. I'll take it back. Don't bring that shit in your game.
I'll just say
now,
Firmino, right? Yeah. But there is an absolute jizz fest for him and Emre Can at the moment. And both are patchy. Like, neither of them are absolutely dominant.
But they're our best players. So I do get it.
That's because we're a bunch of average cunts.
It came before the proof.
I think, just on Firmino, I actually think he is very good. But he isn't as aesthetically nice to watch as Coutinho is.
His
output is much better than Coutinho's.
Yeah, he delivers. Like his delivery is...
execution and his work rate and his tackling and his recovery. Yeah.
Sorry, by delivery, I mean what you get from him, end product.
Yeah, so he isn't as good to watch.
He's taken our best corner this year.
Our one good corner.
The whole
but he's
year.
Not good to watch. So, like, you know, you watch him and he does stumble and he does give away crap passes. Mm. Whereas Firmino, Coutinho tends not to do that. But all of Coutinho's best work seems to be not particularly damaging to the opposition when he's having one of those games. Yeah. So I think Firmino is excellent. I thought Emre Can was, that's the best I've seen him play. I thought he was immense against Palace.
And City.
Well, I thought
I thought City was about a perfect performance as we've had under Klopp.
It was just a team,
from front to, you know, the back.
To be honest with you, after the performance against City, given we'd gone through the loss in the cup final, sort of got our revenge, if you want to put it another way, in the league on during the midweek, I totally expected a bit of a drop off in the performance because, you know, they burst their bollocks for the 90 minutes against City.
And he starts the same team.
Again. And, you know, to be honest with you, until the sending off happened, I didn't think we were making particularly great chances or opening them up at all.
They were rubbish.
I cashed out for €1.76. That's what I thought of the match.
I'm constantly saying about our poor performances, right, where because every good team has poor performances and still wins and takes their chances. And I've always said, like on Twitter or whatever here, that you have them games and people take the team to the slaughterhouse over.
Yeah.
And you're like football is fine lines.
Yeah.
You can play in a certain way, not play great and win a game. That's we're good against Palace in the end, but very, very lucky.
Mm.
Let's not pretend that this was a great performance.
No.
The goals were gifted. Like, the keeper, 99 times out of 100, clears that ball up to the halfway line.
10 yards off your own box.
And so, he's had a make there. And then the penalty. Yeah. And then the penalty is just like the last kick of the game, literally. So.
But I think if we're not playing United on a Thursday, I think Klopp mixes that team up.
Of course.
For Palace. Yeah. Because I think that I was a little frustrated when I saw during the game because I was like, oh, he thinks these are going to play like City and they're not. We're actually perfect for Palace because we press high and they want to counter. And I think if we weren't playing United, I think Sturridge and Coutinho probably would have played.
Yeah.
And actually then it's a different game.
Yeah.
But so scraping through, like Andy says, I don't think we were great. We weren't great at all. I thought we got better actually in the second half and, you know, we'd probably deserve to win it on the balance of play. But we weren't great, but I don't think he wanted us. I didn't think he expected us to be great. He went, this team will get me through. It'll get me through today, and then I'll be fresh. You know, Klein will have a rest. Sturridge will be fit. Coutinho will be fit.
Well, that's for Klein's first rest all season. Exactly. Pretty much thereabouts. Yeah, maybe a couple of Europa Cup games or Carling.
The one thing about that is at least now we seem to have three fullbacks that he's confident to use whenever he needs to use them. I know Flanagan's never going to be amazing going forward, but he still gives you that solidity in the fullback.
Well, you have Flanagan and Klein now who can play left back whenever he wants to rest Moreno. So the other one will play the other side. And it seems to be Klein that he pushes out left back when he wants to play Flanagan right full.
Even though I think Flanagan's better on the left.
I think that might have been the fact that he's only just coming back in, hasn't got the sharpness, and he thinks put him on his more comfortable side and let him play there.
Yeah. And if Milner hadn't got sent off, he would have gone to right back.
Yeah.
Because I think that was the plan.
I think that was literally being done before his big JCB head kicked in.
It was. I mean, it was absolutely disgraceful.
Like, well, he's cost himself his place in the side now for a while.
Yeah,
so
he has, yeah. Like, I give Millard probably since Firmino start getting good has been quite productive himself.
Yeah.
And he's been decent, like, you know, there was signing on fees or whatever and he's on big money, but he was a free signing, so that sort of form since January, if he had that all season, that's like, yeah, that's a great sign. And it's easy. You hate him.
But you hate him regardless of what he does.
That's because he spends more time fucking eating the grass than
listen,
else.
We all have players we don't like looking at.
And I don't think we should
underestimate
the impact he has on Klopp's system.
He has been, and Klopp likes him. Yeah. There must be something in it if Klopp likes him.
But that is
just anti-experience. Like, if you're bringing in a player to kind of replace Gerrard in the dressing room as such, like that English experience, all that, won a few bits and pieces over the years. But if you're going to do that, he's a very, very last player that you expect to do that and hang his head in shame over that, because it's totally, totally unnecessary.
He's totally frustrated. I mean, the first tackle is a terrible tackle, but he's obviously seen something. It's a revenge tag. It's the type of things you would have seen back
then.
Yeah,
I'm going to get you.
I'm going to fuck you
up. He lost the ball in the box. Like, you know? Probably fell. The second probably one fell to his fell or something.
Yeah.
And then ran after him and did that. That was.
But for a guy that scored quite a few goals for us and assists, he's so poor around the 18-yard box. Oh my God, I'm like.
Like he gets the odd goals here and there, but you know, 90% of the time his end product is abysmal. Yeah. Whether it be crossing or putting that little final pass in or taking a shot.
And against a team like Palace, we've got to be shooting more. We've got like they're quite happy for us to play it around the sides, go back and forth, because they're not going to get opened up. They're happy enough with that. So you've got to start shooting or you've got to start crossing and doing things that are going to move them around a little bit.
Like it was, there was a keeper in there who hadn't played in 6 months and I kept we didn't test him for 52 minutes
same
or
thing,
something.
Like, you know, the same thing, you know. Flanagan to Milner would drop it back to Flanagan, to Henderson would switch it to Khan would switch it across to Moreno, the same thing would happen across the left, and we'd never actually penetrate. Then it's like, fucking hell, that is in
it was
a
like a training
like
exercise.
But you can't do that on the it's training hard field to, it's hard four. To press like a team. You do have to have your plan B when they are passing the ball through your midfield.
Well, Palace can help themselves because Palace just when it went 1-1, they never came at us like trying to win the game. They literally
they were out on their feet. What I will say is the fitness was a big difference. They were out on their feet. Yeah. Palace,
they don't look to keep the ball in dangerous areas.
No.
So they won't keep the ball around between their 18 and the halfway line. And that's where Klopp wants to punish teams.
Yeah.
Win the ball there and catch a team in their back feet.
They're happy to get it out
but
there
they
as
just
quickly
they
as
get it and they bypass midfield. So you want a bit of quality in your team to play against that, and that's where a fit storage or a Coutinho, if he's playing, kind of unlocks teams like a bit of magic.
But then we haven't mentioned him, but The Rock, Dejan Lovren,
brilliant
man of the match.
Oh, he had a great game,
won all his
great
headers.
Again, it's like there's a horn for certain players like Firmino and
Sacco
and Chan. But then there's the fucking major flop. Flopper out there.
Well, look, Lovren, in my opinion, when he's played under Klopp, has been a player transformed, and he looks a completely different defender to the defender that was there when Rodgers was there.
Yeah,
and,
he has.
And
Lovren has had less bad games in the last year than Skrtel or Sacco.
Absolutely.
I do remember the guffaws that we did have when we saw Colo coming on towards the end of the match and we were looking for the winner. And you're like, what's going on? There was a plan behind it. Went three at the back.
I genuinely think that's when I cashed out. I'm not even joking. I think if I go back, I think it was when Colo came on and I just went.
Klopp said himself he was happy to close out the game.
Yeah, he was so going through one.
Lovren wasn't. That's when he went on his fucking steam.
Do you know the truth of it is, right? And look, you can reverse engineer these things. Colo comes on, Emre Can moves into midfield. It means Henderson moves to the left. And Henderson into the right. Henderson actually plays the through ball for Benteke, which wins the penalty.
But like,
if that doesn't happen, Henderson's sitting
Not forget, like I do think Lovren's tackle is going to be one of my highlights of the season.
It was a smashing tackle.
You can see, like, you can hear him before he comes into view on the camera. And then you can just see the legs getting quicker and quicker and quicker.
Yeah. And then boom.
The only thing I'm disappointed about is he didn't because he got that far and he's such an egotistical maniac. I'm surprised he didn't just cut in on his left and whack it out of a shot like
Danny Agus.
But he was very, very good, and he has been very good, I think, for a while.
His unfortunate thing has been that he's been getting fanny injuries. You know what I mean? Like, he's been breaking a nail and getting taken off with oxygen, you know what I mean? And
I think if you can't
shit like that, you know what I mean? Like, terrible stuff. Like, you know, he'd be getting taken off with oxygen and looking like he was about to die, and then you hear he's back in training the next day.
Back in training that evening.
You're like, what do you
if they all stay fit, there's no reason why Skrtel should get another minute this season.
No, it's like,
yeah, well, at the moment he has to be fourth choice because
to be honest, Colo and Lovren are probably our best. Like, okay, you can throw Lucas into that mix as well because he's performed at centre back for us.
Yeah, so he had a bad game there. But so
still wouldn't.
I thought Sacco was good actually. But I think
in terms of real centre backs, Lovren and Colo are probably the most on form.
On form, but again, looking at
I think you're going to have Sacco and Lovren as your.
I think you can see that until Matip comes in anyway next season, that's everyone is fit.
I think those two are fighting it out to start next to Matip. Yeah. I think that's what's happening at the moment. He's gone, okay, you're two of my best two.
Both of you can play left side. I think Matip plays right side. So it's like, which one of you is going to perform the best?
Yeah,
which
one of you is going to start? And more or less, you can see that you're my three for who are going to be.
But you know the great thing about
that's a healthy rivalry. And yeah. If Matip was injured, like, you at least they know how important it is when they get their chance to stay in the team. Digging in and they perform.
I'm glad that Lovren is putting to bed the idea that he couldn't play right centre back.
Yeah,
because that was a common myth that was going around for a long time. It was one that we argued.
He is right footed.
But we argued here on the pod for ages that Sacco and Lovren under Rodgers should have been the starting two.
Yeah, there's certain other commentators, shall we say,
factions,
Liverpool
factions,
football club, who are adamant that left sided centre backs cannot play right sided.
No, only some. Like, in my opinion, it's a cop out. It shows a player has less in his locker.
It's a lack of game intelligence. He can't adapt
across the side.
We've got four centre backs, and I've seen three of them play both sides. Yeah. Colo's played both sides, Lovren's played both sides,
and Lucas. Lovren is very impressive on both feet.
Yeah.
He can make a tackle with both feet,
yeah,
and he can take a ball with both feet. He takes less touches of the ball before he needs to get his head up, but to know where he's going. Other players tend to have that little bit of a second, which is so important.
The second touch before he even gets
there. I saw a shout on Twitter, and I think this is true about Lovren as well, which is he probably has the best mentality of practically anyone in our squad. He just does not
care what anyone thinks.
Yeah, he just does not get down. He never thinks the way, he never gives up. He never lets his head drop, and he's had terrible
stinkers.
I think we need to use Spurs as the blueprint, nearly, in the sense of you can get so hung up, and I'm including Benteke in this, and I'm including myself in terms of the stuff we've said throughout the season. You can get so hung up on a bunch of players, but there's absolutely nothing to say that with Matip and Grujic coming in, just them two, that we couldn't go and easily push top four hard next season. Because it's a blank canvas. And anything that's happened this season is irrelevant. It's just not relevant. It's because you look at Spurs and they were such a softness to them, and they buckled every time. And they brought in fucking Toby and Ali. Son's played and he's been in and out. But they're the two. And other than that, it's pretty much the same.
But good
team.
Sides are built over seasons. Yeah. They're not built in one transfer window.
No.
Look at Chelsea, right? We were all sitting here going, oh my God, look how amazing they are at transfers. I mean, they got Fabregas and they got Costa. They knew what they wanted, went and did it. And then their next two transfer windows were fucking appalling.
Yeah.
Mm. Terrible.
Yeah. And they fall to pieces. And those players that we were lauding for rightly so, having a massive,
they fall to pieces.
They don't have the mentality the
look
next
at United
season.
I mean, we missed out on Memphis. Missed, they bought Di Maria.
Yeah.
They bought Falcao.
Yeah.
And we were shitting ourselves. I think we would have taken all three of those players at Liverpool.
And we were all shitting ourselves going, they are really making a statement.
They signed
intent.
Schweinsteiger and Schneidlin, that's it. I mean, that's like the best midfield. Yeah.
That's it. Just give up.
They've got two DMs in
there. Twice as good as anybody.
Yeah, we were all guilty at that. I mean, I thought Schweinsteiger and Schneiderlin was just perfect for two players in the middle of the park. Exactly. Like, you could not
say Schweinsteiger's injury record.
Yeah, and to be fair, Guardiola said it as well. He said, he was selling a player that was past it. That's just to show,
we do obsess about transfers and we do write players off after 10 games or even 20 games. And it's like, well, Firmino was on, I think at Christmas time, Firmino was on some list. I think it was Football 365 or something like that. The top 10 bad buys of the season, and now he's the best player in the league.
Right, just to wrap this up then.
Behind Mahrez and some other players.
We should sign Mahrez. We should sign Mahrez. If he's on the market, if we can get Mahrez, we should sign him.
I don't know. Don't know if it's a one season thing.
He's unbelievable.
It's been unbelievable.
Unbelievable last season.
Geez, I think
he's
had
two seasons.
It doesn't look to me like this player who's just coming after him. He just looks so in control.
Yeah. So
it is two seasons as well, isn't it?
It's different though when the expectation level is raised.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I take him.
Think about getting rid of a few players before you bring in another.
If you commit it,
10 or
But is he a 10? Like he's playing wide.
He's playing wide.
He has more goals and assists than any other player in the league. And I think I read a stat somewhere that only once in the last, say, 10 years has someone scored more than 15 and assisted more than 10. And he's the first person to do it.
I don't know why, but I think if we were going to sign another player from the Premier League to play in that position, I think I'd be more comfortable with Payet than Mahrez for whatever.
Mahrez for me.
No, Payet wouldn't fit in our system.
I don't know.
He doesn't work hard enough. He's got no pace. He's more of a 10.
What I wanted to finish on flops, since we're talking about, like, Mignolet actually had a decent game.
He had a very good game, actually. Yeah.
Mm. It was like a goalkeeper. Yeah,
he couldn't do much about the goal.
His brave save.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very good
one.
Yeah,
but is that it? No, this is one game and this is torn around.
To be fair, he's had the City game, which really, after the goal he let in the final, he had a very good game after that. Then he goes and plays them in the league and does nothing wrong, really. And then he plays Palace and has another goal. So, well, I thought it'd be fair to him and say,
the one thing about the Palace game, which was impressive, was that nearly everything he doesn't do in his game, he did against Palace. Like, he was commanding.
He came out massively in terms of
he was out around the edge of the 18 box, more than I've seen him in all his time at Liverpool, and he was catching crosses with ease, which was just so out of character for him. So, like, that's why.
Because he's going for those catches, and you're going, oh, no, here we go.
Then the part of me goes, is this him gone into his
Benteke mode?
No, it was into the mentality we've seen before, where he looked like he was out the door with Rodgers, and all of a sudden his form turned.
The wife had a word for him.
Benteke does this as well around fucking March. No, but I've literally got nothing to lose here, because I'm probably going to be axed anyway at the end of the season, so I'm just going to do all the things that I'm normally second guessing myself over. Because
well, best case scenario for Mignolet is that we bring in someone to challenge him. Worst case scenario is we sell him.
We should just start telling them in August we're looking around for a new keeper.
Just on Mignolet, what I would say is we look so much better at set plays. Mm. Something has definitely changed there. Palace had a lot of set pieces.
Yeah, well, you know, gone from losing the first ball to the second ball to the third ball. Yeah, now it's kind of the ninth ball.
If Firmino stands still, he doesn't score. Yeah.
Well, it's poor control from him as well to actually gift the ball to Nedley. And then he kind of half runs at it, thinking I'll stop this ball if I can, but no way am I taking it in the face. He has that look on him.
I can't be fully behind the player until you kind of see shit like that gone. Like, that's terrible. Like, that is terrible. And then it's like the big buzz about Emre Can, until he stops like making stupid long passes out of play, or, you know, just
that doesn't bother me.
Well,
it's worth remembering. Only
if you're going to be spraying balls, or you're going to be
if he was 26 or 27 and he's doing that, then we've got a problem.
Of course, he's still only a kid. He's playing a very mature position now.
Yeah,
he's the only one of our midfielders that's nailed on for next season.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm. Lucas?
Yeah.
Henderson is, like, if you get to, well,
we'll see.
I don't know.
I think a pre-season will sort Henderson out.
Well, what I was going to say earlier about the Sacco-Lovren debate is I don't think anyone has a clue who Klopp is
looking at, happy to keep anything. It's brilliant. Yeah, that's exactly the way it should be.
Like, seriously, he could go, hey, I'm selling Sacco. I'm not adding it.
I'm selling Coutinho. Yeah. I'm keeping Lallana. I'm bringing in a different 10. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Before we get into the hypothetical, look, we've got.
Do realise the vast majority of this pod is the hypothetical.
It's completely hypothetical because we know fuck all about anything.
And like every other pod.
Yeah. Let's move away from hypothetical and discuss what we think will happen. You
know, at least we're honest.
Yeah, we know nothing.
What are we talking about now? No,
I don't want to talk about hypothetical, but let's talk about what we think will happen in the United game. So the United match, let's be honest about it, whether it's going to be a great season or a shit season probably hinges on these two games and getting through into the next round of the Europa League, because if we get through this, we get into the Champions League, supposedly. If we win this.
Yeah, he means as in the hype behind United. It's where the
once we win this, we're in.
Thanks for translating.
No worries, man.
Thanks.
Good speech, Welsh. Thank you.
the United game, I personally, and I've said it before on this, I hate watching these games. I just feel so fucking tense and everything watching the matches. But, like, this as well being a Europa League toy, and it's just on a different level to what it is. And I suppose midweek, late at night as well, the atmosphere,
you load a gargle.
One eye, big bottle of rum. Singing songs.
And the second leg's on Paddy's Day, right?
What?
The second leg's on Paddy's Day.
Not a single Irish Liverpool fan has gone to see the game on Paddy's Day. They should have moved it to 12 o'clock in the morning. But like, right lads, so anyone looking forward to
him? Yeah, big time.
Massively.
Big time.
Yeah, of course.
Massively. The problem is, Head says we should absolutely smash them, even if they have come into a bit of form. I just feel we are, but my heart just tells me, don't go there. You know, it just says to me, you get so kind of, like,
I think they'll beat us. I mean, I'm on that. I just think,
that's
it's
realistically,
just me
I'm thinking there. It's
like,
and Scabbily as well. Yeah, not like not like
fuck
convincing
off
me,
the
Beatles.
Bogies. Fuck off.
No, okay,
seriously.
Okay, Cole.
Okay, they think they'll beat us is too strong, but like I can see how they beat us. You know what I mean? Because it's one of those where
I can see how we beat them. Like, we've been beaten twice by them, and fuck them now. This is
four
our chance
on the bounce, isn't it?
Yeah. Under Van Gaal,
Van Gaal's never lost.
But look at.
Well, that tells you statistically he's probably due one.
He's due one.
Yeah.
Then they went.
So make it a good one.
Well, it's only Klopp's toward, you know. Oh, you mean Van Gaal's due a defeat?
I mean, he's due a defeat against us. Yeah. Like, so that's what
I'm not sure it actually works like that.
No, neither does blind optimism. Yeah. Like, you know,
I can convince myself both ways on it. I think we'll have a stronger team, and I think we're always better in the bigger games.
I think they're going to come on Thursday and stink the place out.
You know, they will.
Yeah, they will stink the
place.
That's
what they did the last game.
And we
kill them.
But we get an early goal. The balls are, I'm fucking it. It's got to be fucking deadly.
It is going to be amazing.
You know,
it is.
There's only a few things that can really get this club going again. It's European football. It's the way Klopp has arrived. Mm. A few results, which we've had now. A few performances we've had, and a couple of players that can start scoring goals. So the excitement is there. Just...
It's ready
it's
to
ready,
kick off.
It's ready, yeah, it's ready to go. So if Liverpool come out early and they show intent, as in they throw in a challenge or two early on, and then they have a couple of chances early on, the place is going to be rocking, and I just don't see us not smashing them.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, and when I think back to the game at Anfield, you know, we were very unlucky. De Gea pulls off a couple of great saves. We hit the post. Mm. You know, there's a few bits whereby if that happens, we win that game comfortably.
Was that Klopp game or Rodgers?
Yeah,
game?
No, it was Klopp. It was just end of January, when Rooney gets the poxy goal. Yeah,
I don't even remember.
Yeah, neither did I. And then I remembered I was at it. I was thinking about the other day. I was like, "What was the last match against United like?" And I was like, "You were fucking there, you plump." I went, "Oh yeah, that explains it."
I think that Andy's kind of got me convinced that a little bit now, because I'm like, we will be up for it. I'm not sure they will be. In the same way that we will be, like, Klopp will and Anfield will have him up for it. Whereas Van
does
Gaal's
he even
not
have
back,
the capability
yeah,
to get
can
them?
Can he get them up if he hasn't been able to so far? Mm. You know, they've even though I agree they've played pretty well recently.
They've
it's
had
really
huge
be
games.
A bit of a fluke.
But they did come out and play very well against Arsenal. That's the one game I would say
they
I've
did.
Seen them in
yeah.
the last while where
they were
up for that. They were up for that,
especially in the last 15 when there was a swagger about them.
Yeah,
anything,
but then again, that was at Old Trafford, and they know Arsenal never beat them at Old
and
Trafford.
Arsenal
so they,
are a fucking spineless bunch of pricks.
Yeah. So, like, will they come out with that same swagger at Anfield against us when when they see Lucas and Cole Touré at centre back? You know, that's.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the side that he'll probably put out, you know. You could pick it now, like it's going to be Coutinho, Sturridge, Firmino, Henderson, Kahn, Milner, and then the back four: Klein, Moreno, Lovren, Sacco, Mignolet.
Yeah.
You know, and on paper, we should win.
I think like there's a connection between the players, the manager, and the fans now again, and we can rock this place out. You get a decent result, even we win 1-0, or just stop them scoring and go to Old Trafford. They won't have that. They won't have that mega European night.
Yeah,
because the fans hate Van Gaal.
Yeah.
There's going to be a portion of them who'd probably rather see small misery happening to that team because...
But like some of our fans wanted us to lose under Rodgers.
And there's a lot of that there. Like, I mean, they're even fucking dumber than some of our fans.
Yeah. Well, that'll take some doing now. Like, you know. But I mean, it'll be interesting. The one thing I would say, if he doesn't start Sturridge... That means Sturridge is going, right?
Well,
for me.
Ooh.
Like, no, if he starts Origi again. After
he was
Sturridge
slow. He was slow
off.
Bringing Sturridge back into the team. I think he's managing him.
Yeah.
And, like.
So you think he'll start?
Well, I personally think that he's being managed to start this game.
Yeah. So do I.
And I don't think Origi's done enough in the Palace game to say, oh yeah, he must start.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm saying if he starts Origi.
Yeah, but you could ask the question, okay, is he managing him as in he doesn't think he's fit enough to even start this one?
Yeah.
He'll definitely get a run.
Well, he started two or three games.
He looked, I felt, people said they thought he looked well, but I feel he's looked sluggish in nearly every game I've seen him play so far.
No chance Benteke starts?
No.
I thought about that because he scored the goal.
And he might start away.
It's not the sort of, it wouldn't surprise me to see him. Like, that's the great thing about Klopp. I could be there going, it's going to be Coutinho, it's going to be Sturridge up top. And all of a sudden we could see fucking Lallana and Benteke in there and just go.
I think Lallana has a great shout at starting this game.
Again, I think he definitely starts the away game. I don't know whether he starts this game. But I nearly
wouldn't mind seeing Lallana, Firmino and Sturridge and Coutinho dropped in with Chan and
he's never going to do
that. I know he's not. But I know what you mean.
And this Milner doesn't play.
That's what I mean, dropping Milner.
I think
he might be pissed off with Milner. You know, so does he definitely drop him back in? Or does he do the manager thing that says, listen, I can't use him in the league, so I may as well use him in the cup?
Milner's really important to the shape right now, you know. And I think that he wouldn't trust another player in there.
To do it. Yeah, I get you.
Going on what Andy said, anyone feel that United might try fucking just upturn the apple cart and really go at us?
Possibly. Like,
I think it would suit us if they did. I think if they come and play the way they play, I think we'll find them pretty tough to break down, you know. But if they come and have a go at us, and they do have this, they have a bit of pace up front now. They have this, Rashford, Kidd, Martial and Memphis. You know, that's a quick front line. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I hope they come and have a bit of a go. Because it'll get us going.
Rooney's
raise the atmosphere.
Now again, though, isn't he?
Is Rooney fit?
I heard something saying.
I hope Rooney plays.
So do I. You're looking for Rooney to play if possible.
I mean, I prefer Rooney to play than this Rashford kid who's got, you know, would beat. Although Klein will be back, so he tends to have enough on it.
Does Flano start for that?
He can't play.
Oh, he can't. He's not in the Europa squad.
He wasn't put in the squad.
And he wouldn't start for me anyway.
Well, then he won't be playing.
No. It's very
again
unlikely.
Away. Flano is the type of player, you know. I think the away team at Old Trafford, if we're defending a lead, is a
I'd be honest with you. If he was available, I'd be playing him. And the reason I play him is purely going back to what Andy said. Like, he's the type of fella who'll go out and he'll fucking kick one of them up in the
ahead
air.
Of who though?
Well,
ahead of
probably
who?
Moreno and push Klein over to left full.
But who's going to do the jumping karate scissors kicks if Moreno's not
playing?
Well,
I know we didn't mention it because, like, they are phenomenal things. I mean, those jumping karate scissor tackles that he does.
He's practically doing ballet at this point.
He's basically giving up tackling normally.
He's taking the piss at times, isn't he?
He's basically giving. And I love Moreno. I'm not one to be on
the
back.
I don't hate him.
I think he's a very good left full. I think he gets way too much stick considering the level of performance he puts in. But at the same time, his incredible spinning, jumping, diving.
It's gonna
spacey
kill him one of these days.
He's gonna
hit
himself.
10-year ban for the tackling put.
He must drive
Klopp
crazy.
Like, that's what I mean. Because
else Klopp absolutely loves.
But
the
I think there's
shirt.
So much of his
Madness
game
of
to admire. Yeah. Moreno, his recovery pace is unbelievable. Right, he's good attacking wise. He's got a good shot on him. I actually think positionally he's a bit suspect, but he's getting better. But he's just brain dead.
Rash.
Just brain dead.
I think you said it on the pod last week.
Well, actually, what I said was... why can't he make that
extra yard? Half and make the
like
70
he
yards.
He fucking kills himself. He flies back. And then he decides to do them from behind. Like, they're not even at the edge of our 18 yet.
Yeah.
He has the time to get back in front of them. But and he goes, nah. I'm not even going to let them know I'm coming. He just jumps off the ground.
But it's sensational though. He could have been a good long jumper because he travels some distance.
But if you compare the way he tackles to Emre Can, right? They both do the same thing. They're both really great at recovering, right? Great recovery pace. Well, what Emre Can does is he gets his body in front of the player just next to the ball.
Yeah.
Moreno goes, ah, fuck that.
I'm going to burst this come through the Achilles.
Yeah. And then his face when he turns around after giving a foul goes, what?
Yeah. But hang on a second. You still can't do that this week.
I could probably live with the jumping scissor kick ninja tackle, right, if he was doing it on the inside of the player. But he insists on doing it on the outside of the player.
To get to the ball at the inside. It's like he physically has to go through both legs.
Go, gadget legs.
Yeah. It's like, how can I make this tackle even more dodgier?
Yeah.
And also, How if I don't make the tackle, am I just going to leave myself completely open to your man just running on without any contact whatsoever?
How can I look like either a complete knob or kill this man?
When it comes to tackling, if you jump in, you're losing. If you have to jump, you're losing. Yeah. You're going to get a free against you. But anyway, so Marino and Flanagan can't play, so that's why Marino and Clarke. But Benteke is an interesting show for the Old Trafford game. I could see him playing that and Lallana in that game.
Overhead speciality, like he did.
Depends
on the result. If we got a lead to protect, I could see Benteke playing.
Plus, there's nothing really in the United defence that you say would dominate Benteke. Fuck Smalling. You know what I mean? Smalling or Blind or whoever they're putting back there.
Well, it's only Smalling, really. Smalling, Blind, Rojo, and Damian is who started at the weekend, and three of them are terrible.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. There's nothing I'd be worrying about them dominating Benteke if he was playing in Old Trafford.
A nice De Gea injury now in training would be lovely.
Yeah.
That would really be the icing on the cake.
A Peter Cech style one where he comes up for 2-0 down on Thursday. He comes up and gets absolutely minced and is out for the rest
as
of the season.
As shit as it is to be a Liverpool fan, it's worse to be an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
I mean, being an Arsenal
fan. That's their league this year.
Piers Morgan is an Arsenal fan.
Points wise, this is as bad a meltdown as they've ever had.
Yeah, it's terrible.
77 points is probably going to be enough to win this league. That's incredible.
And they'd be 8 points behind it.
The season we won, we nearly won the league.
We won second place.
77 points wouldn't have got you fourth.
Yeah, I agree.
It wouldn't have got you fourth.
Yeah.
They're 8 points behind Leicester.
David Moyes is the proof that you don't inevitably get your win.
Yeah.
Because he could never beat us.
No. But 8 points behind Leicester. I mean, all the big clubs should hang their heads in shame not to win this league. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. If Spurs don't win it, if Arsenal don't win it, they should.
And that's the thing. We're talking about Leicester. It's an amazing achievement for Leicester to hit 78 points, let's say. Yeah. 75, 78 points. But the point is,
it's amazing when we get to 60 points, don't mind.
Of course it is. But what I'm saying is they probably will hit mid-70s or thereabouts. And hopefully it's enough for them to win the league. My point is, it's a damning indictment on the big clubs that they aren't surpassing that unless they aren't fighting it out for fourth place. What should be happening here.
Arsenal should be
City and Arsenal.
They should be 81, 82 points.
Because United, they've a terrible manager. They've been going through transition. Chelsea had a crumbler, the way to fall out with Mourinho and everything that happens. New manager Rodgers having a disaster last season. But it's City and Arsenal with all the money there and.
Well, if the season started when Hiddink joined, Chelsea'd be second,
I think so,
And if the season started when Klopp joined, we'd be fourth.
Yeah.
So, to be fair, both those managers have made an impact,
Right,
can
so look
at four.
That was the last thing I was going to ask before, I guess.
We can. I don't think we do. You've already said we probably have too many teams to overcome. In saying that, we've had a good week. We've had a good week, right? We've got a break from league football now the next 2 weeks or next week and a half. And then after that, all there is, depending on the result of that game, after that, all there is to concentrate for the last 9 games or whatever is the league.
Only two teams we have to overcome, West Ham and one of... Because if we win our game at hand, we go level on points for United, right?
Yeah.
So then... And we go above them, I think our goal difference is better.
I don't think ours is better. Ours is only better.
We won't catch Leicester. We won't catch Boris. We probably won't catch Arsenal.
So City or West Ham. Well, City and West Ham, we've got to get above.
So I think,
City's catchable.
If we catch City...
I think Arsenal could be catchable.
If we win our game in hand, I think Arsenal's only 5 points, right?
I'll tell you now. I think Arsenal have another wobble or two in them between now and the end of the season, I think.
I mean, Spurs are 8 points ahead, I think, and we have to play Spurs.
It's tight. It's very tight.
The one thing I'd say is I think we're watching the end of the Wenger at Arsenal. I don't think they'll sack him, but I think there's a good possibility that they might. He will step down or move upstairs or something.
But do you know what the thing is, right? They've missed out.
Yeah.
Because they can't get Ancelotti, they can't get Klopp, they can't get Guardiola, they won't get Simeone. Conte's going to Chelsea. Who are they going to get? Who's going to Arsenal?
The only one that stands out for me is they might go after Tommy Tuchel.
It's too early for him though. He's not going to leave
Tommy Tuchel.
Tommy Tuchel. Yep.
He's the Japanese car thief.
Yep.
But he's not leaving. He's not going to leave.
I think once Arsenal gone from similar situation to Ferguson being in place for so long, they'll try and attempt a new dynasty. You know, so you might find they'll give some pass to Arsenal
Vieira
player go? Like, where is Vieira managing in America or something?
But he's part of Man City's stable, isn't he?
Yeah, he's still he's well embedded in there.
There's a chance something like that could happen.
All right. So look, anyway, look, to wrap up this rambling section on the United game, Steve, we win?
Yeah, a small win by a goal.
By a goal.
You said a minute ago we weren't going to win.
No, I said my head said that we would, but my heart told me not to believe it.
You meant to be the other way.
Yeah, but it's not.
You meant to say your head says no and your heart says yeah.
No, my head says yeah, that we have a stronger team than them. My heart says you've been down this fucking road too many times and being broken.
So you've got a broken heart.
I have a broken heart when it comes to Liverpool.
What becomes of the...
head.
That's what becomes of them.
Head says yeah, heart says yeah. Heart says 7-0. head says 2-0. Yeah.
Mr. Davis?
Andy's turned me around on this. I got to be honest with you. I was a little more negative coming into it, but I'm on Andy's train. So I'm going.
The days of, you know, shitting yourself when United are coming to town are gone.
But I'm not scared of them in terms of, I don't think they're better than us. They're just scaldy. Like, they've.
And it's the thought of losing to them.
It's the thing. You don't want to believe it. Like, you know,
if that's Wolfsburg that we're playing on Thursday night, I don't feel that way.
I can deal with the slagging now, because it's not like
they're dominating.
Every time they do, like, they used to beat us, they were going on to win the title and we were a laughing stock because we weren't getting close. If they beat us and they go through, like, their answer is, listen. We're both shit.
Yeah.
You know.
You're just a little bit less shit on the night.
Yeah. So we're winning.
Yeah, 2-0. I'll go with Andy. 2-0. Okay. 7-0.
2-0, 7-0. That is not bad. That's not an aggregate score, is it?
I think they get an away goal. That's my worry.
I think it keeps the toy alive. They get an away goal. And
2-1.
I don't know. I just know I won't beat in spicy food that day. We all win.
Yay. We're all winners. If everyone's a winner, nobody's a winner. I'm going to say that.
I am Lou Schwarre. You are listening to Trippers Chat.
Breach of fucking film preparation, sort of shit.
Probably
something like kips. That. Like the burrito bar or something, I think it is, or whatever.
Fucking gorgeous, anyway.
Burritos.
Yeah. Bit of field poison never killed anyone.
I went into that place in Rathmines. Normally go to.
Terrible one there.
Yeah, no, you did. But I've only ever went to.
A little bit. Not much.
Eating fucking burritos won't help.
No, I'm fucking no burritos. I've dropped £10, I think.
Yeah, you could see
in the last 3 weeks.
I didn't notice it last week.
Don't be massaging his ego.
Since Wednesday.
Yeah. I had 2 burritos, lost £10 after them.
But I've only ever went to that one on Bisoy Cafe in Sen.
Right.
And I've never had any trouble.
Which one's
that? Going from Tara Street out to Rafarnham, just on transfer. So I'm going in there. Pulled in, just left the fucking car, crossing the guard station.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you should be. Just leave their hazards on.
Just like, yay. It's a burrito, man.
Yeah.
Fucking farmer.
Guess what as well, yeah.
Got the sirens on.
But, got one anyway. Fucking amazing.
In Rathmines?
Yeah. Gorgeous.
No, I've had nice ones out there. We get the last one.
We get the mango fucking salts on it. Not the mango one.
Yeah.
That's hot.
I keep forgetting to fuck it. Well, I keep meaning to try Belgium. But
I still haven't had Pablo Picantes.
Have you not?
Never.
Oh, man, I have a loyalty card off of Pablo Picantes. My loyalty card isn't the one with the stamp anymore. It's actually a swipey loyalty card.
In near field communication, you just tap.
There you go, points. Woo! But yeah, so.
Good stuff.
Burritos.
Yeah, no, they're fucking great.
They are.
But they're not that bad for you, really, are they?
No, they are. They're fucking
they couldn't be.
They're about
hell.
1,000 calories.
And they couldn't be.
They're only a wrap.
They're a wrap, which is a load of calories, and then a ton of fucking rice, and then...
It's only a little bit of rice.
No, no, it's fair.
The beans are one or five a day.
No, I'll tell you.
Look at him just to find it.
Sour cream
there's nothing wrong with 2 Big Macs either, mate.
Huh?
There's nothing wrong with 2 Big Macs either.
I know,
Sunny San Diego and Pablo Picante, which is the chicken and the beans and the rice and the cheese and the whole lot. That is
in your My Fitness Pal.
735 calories.
Fuck. That's nothing.
I know.
That's like fucking 10% of your annual allowance. Your daily allowance.
No, it's not, you lunatic.
It's half your daily allowance.
No, it's about a third. It's about a third. You're about 2,200 calories.
And you're probably going to eat that.
2,500.
Yeah, if you're not trying to lose weight.
2,500 for a man. But yeah, yeah.
No, it's 2,500.
If you do 2,000.
No.
2,000 for a woman and 2,500 for a man. Tell you what mine is. Hang on, I'll just pop in 10 minutes. My Fitness Pal.
And it also depends on what
you can't beat. My Fitness Pal. It's great.
1945 a day. That's what I'm. That's what I'm allowed at the minute.
1945.
1700.
And yoga's bang on 700 for a meal. Like that'd be like your cheat meal. Within a week, like you're not going to be eating burritos every day.
No, of course not.
So you might have it for a lunch or a dinner.
Over there,
so that's nothing.
Lunch and dinner.
That's absolutely.
You might have it for your lunch and dinner.
Like any other sort of comfort food, like takeaway, you might be looking at over 1,000.
Yeah,
Eddie Rockets. Get a curry.
Eddie Rockets, you're lashing up. Yeah, 1,500 calories, bang, easy in the face.
Bang, smack, bloody
should
nose.
Should have fucking vanilla malt alone. About 900 calories.
But the trick is, why do you have to get the vanilla malt? That's not a standard bar of Eddie Rockets.
Of course it is.
You fucking hungry cunt.
What type of burger are you like? I'll have a vanilla malt one of
absolutely.
Anything to drink while you wait to order, sir? Vanilla malt. Lovely, I'll take the bottle. Mickey,
can you make one of those refill ones?
Just because bottomless malt.
Anyone that goes into Eddie Rockets and starts looking for salads and special treatment and all that is a dick.
I know, but I normally just get a Coke.
The trick is, if you're going to have a cheap meal, eat as much as you possibly can.
Oh, yeah.
So your thing that if you could have a burrito as a cheap meal, that's a waste of a cheap meal.
Yeah.
Like you go to Domino's and have a fucking large feast, pizza family to yourself feast. And like a bucket
into,
of chicken.
Into KFC, sorry, the 20-piece bucket.
Yeah.
Like, so will Annie be joining you?
With ice cream and
many calories in a fucking 14-inch pizza?
Oh, monstrous.
Yeah.
Like, oh, pizza is like, terrible.
Horrific.
Like, don't touch pizza.
Like here, I'll tell you.
A billion D calories, like
16, 1700.
There is literally
like nearly your days. Oh, okay.
In a full one.
In a piece. Then a
14 inch.
Yeah, like what you'd eat yourself.
Oh, that's big. I don't know.
Okay, like what I'd eat myself.
I'd eat myself.
Let's rectify this.
I'm eating the whole fucking thing.
Eating is cheating, so that's fucking cheating.
Well, look, the way my household operates, it's a 3-to-1 ratio. So if there's a packet of biscuits, I eat 3-to-1 that she eats. If we get pizza,
gets a quarter of the pizza, you get 3
quarters. Yeah. So
I just get her own pizza. So
she got 1,200 calories then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now let's look at a burrito again. It's nothing.
It's a mere salad.
It's a mere salad. It's a mere salad.
It's a mere salad.
It is.
How many do you reckon be in a spice bag? Because there's all sorts in the spice bag.
I'd say
no, there's not really. It's just got a bit of fried chicken, some fucking spring onions and chili and seasoning, and then chips.
And chips.
That's all there is.
Yeah, the chips are the killer.
Of course, yeah, but chips are the killer anywhere.
If you're the burrito without the wrap and the rice and everything else, just like in our plate.
Why have they not started doing spice bags with rice instead of chips?
Because that's not a spice bag.
Take the rice or the chips out.
A spice bag is very, very strict.
Some knobhead decided to make it, and now it's some appreciation society.
I know
a couple of people in
spice bag.
Well, I'm in it.
Yeah, I was referring to you.
I've recently joined. After being invited,
it's a really, really, strict. Really good, society.
Yeah,
we like to call it society.
Yeah.
Because
when's your society outing?
I was looking there to 12,000 members now.
It's
not bad for a spice
bag. It's a bit disappointing. Greystones only has a spicy box. It's not even a spice bag, it's a spicy box.
But as long as the ingredients are
good. Yeah. They're good, and there's plenty of spice in it as well.
Never had one.
Yeah, I've only had a few.
I've never heard of it ever.
But you live in the country. Well,
no, he isn't.
You're from Wales, and you live in the country.
Yeah.
So that's the reason.
Andy's nice way of saying you're fucked. You're from Wales and you live in the country.
Or you live in Kildare?
No, I don't. I live in Dublin.
I thought you lived in Kildare.
No, I don't. I live in County Dublin.
County Dublin on the very, very edge.
Literally
there.
On the border.
No, don't get me wrong. My back garden's in Kildare.
When I want to go on holidays.
But when I go
to
sleep, I'm sleeping in Dublin.
Okay. I can be in Wicklow in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And I can be in Kildare in about... what, maybe
3.5 minutes,
a minute and a half. That's walking.
Yeah.
At a slow pace.
On my hands. The original Street Fighter, the big fucking Zangief heading them.
Right, so anyway, look, first trip
he's a mix of Zangief and Blanca.
Right, first one up, Steve. This is for you. You have to dance to one song on stage alone. What song do you choose?
Fuck. What song do I choose?
Because you are a man of dance, you could dance to many songs, but which song would you choose as opposed to waiting the DJ to choose a song for you?
Ooh. I'm going to say
Billie Jean.
Billie Jean's not a bad shout, but I'm going to say this is going to be edited out.
Yeah, at least the 30-second pause.
No, Billie Jean's not a bad shout, actually. I burst my arse out
this
of
morning.
That one, that's more dancing.
Oh, yeah, is it Nina Simone?
No, it's
I think the original sample is Nina Simone. I burst the arse out of a suit.
Oh, I've seen that.
He loves the chicken dance. Yeah. I burst the arse out of a suit at a wedding to Billie Jean. But the problem was I didn't realise that I'd burst the arse out of my suit. So what happened was I went into the Jacks and this fella came in. I was having a piss at the urinal and this fella came in. He was like, oh, I'm after bursting the arse out of my suit. And I said, oh, hang on, mate, don't worry, stay there. So I didn't know him. I'd never met the bloke in my life. It was up in Mayo or in Sligo. And I went out to the reception and I got a load of safety pins and I got him to go into the cubicle and got him to throw over his trousers, right? And I safety pinned up the whole fucking seam of his of the crotch of his fucking trousers. He burst it wide open. And I said, here, put them, went out, not a bother on him for the whole night. He was like, yeah, no problem, mate. Glad I could sort you out, right? So I'm there fucking locked down my head all night on the dance floor, not a bother on me. And then I got back up to the room at about 4 o'clock in the morning. And as I took off my trousers and pulled them down, I could see the carpet through them. And I went, oh, bollocks. Thinking to myself, I'm after sorting his trousers out absolutely perfectly. I'm walking around with my jocks hanging out for hours.
Hanging out for hours.
Yeah. The missus was gone to bed hours ago, so she wasn't even there to give me the fucking nod to tell me.
That's a very good question, that one, now.
Thanks.
Who sent that
I didn't
in?
Come up with it. The person who sent that in was Steve LFC fan.
Well done, Steve LFC fan. Well, it's one of the better questions. We usually get shite ones, so yeah, well done.
Okay. And one for you, Dave. Taking our Belgian scoring, the winner, chocolate team, you can only eat one chocolate bar forever. What is it? Actually, that we'll ask that around the house because we all like food and chocolate.
One chocolate bar forever.
Mine is a discontinued chocolate bar. It's the Texan bar. I just wanted to get that one in quickly while you were thinking because you went and it was killing the dead air.
That is a tough question, isn't it?
Texan bar.
Does it have to eat it forever, right?
It has to be forever.
It's the only one you can
it's
ever
the only
eat.
Chocolate bar you can have forever.
It'd have to be like a Cadbury's Dairy Milk because that's the best chocolate.
Steve-O?
Oh, Lindor
is amazing. Lindor is amazing.
I forgot that.
Was that what you were going for?
No.
All right. For me, it's actually a little 3-pack of Ferrero Rochers.
Oh, the three.
I fucking love chocolate Ferrero Rocher.
Well, so. I know I'm saying cream egg.
Yeah, well, then say cream egg. Right. I didn't think I could
say cream egg because it's not a bar.
I just let you.
It's an egg.
I just let you.
Honourable mention for all the Dairy Milk magical moments, the ones that has the popping candy.
The creative moments.
Get out of the
I'm not crazy. Like, there's so many better than them.
Yeah,
like a Bueno's a great old bar.
Yeah, Bueno.
A Bueno's
Galaxy Caramel.
Yeah.
Even Galaxy
Original.
Yeah.
And Toblerone.
No.
Oh, I had a full giant Toblerone there over like at Christmas in one day.
I buy my kids Milky Way Magic Stars. They're the fucking bollocks.
Everyone got excited about
Kinder chocolate.
Yeah, Kinder chocolate.
Lindor, the red Lindor.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was in Cologne. They have a factory there.
Wait, in Cologne, right?
Yeah, it was in Cologne, but not the time we went.
Okay, so the next one up, Andy, is what would you least like to give up forever, cheese or eggs?
What would I least like to give up forever? Eggs or cheese?
Because you probably have been partial to both.
Both, yeah. Big fan of both. So I would prefer eggs
overall,
yeah.
Prefer to give up or prefer to keep?
I prefer to keep eggs in the mix.
Oh, I'd go the other way.
Cheese?
Yeah, because there's cheese in more dishes. Like, do you know what I mean? So, like, if you like pizza or pasta or burritos, all that kind of stuff, there's cheese in that. Like, do you know what I mean?
Good show.
Yeah, I actually straight away just thought a raw product.
Yeah.
As opposed
in the fridge,
the
which would be there in my fridge more often.
Yeah.
Like, there's always eggs there. There's not always cheese there. So, yeah. I think that's something you wouldn't be able to decide on the spot. you'd have to trial both. I mean, I love pizza when I have pizza.
Yeah.
Not eat it every night or anything. Like
if you say though, do you want pizza but you can't have cheese in it, but you can have egg?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be happy.
And yeah. you changed my mind.
Glad I could help.
But let's hope we'll never present it that situation.
We never have to do it.
Okay,
it's like Sophie's choice, isn't it?
Yeah. This is going probably back to one of our favourite topics, or a combination of a few. But Oiki Samuels asks, if you had to be raped by an animal or dog, which animal would you pick? Raped by an animal or die, which animal would you pick? And you're not allowed an animal smaller than your head.
A hedgehog. I bet they got tiny cocks.
But your head is bigger than a
hedgehog. Would be bigger than
mine. Tiny. But like, I mean, if you're going to be raped by an animal, you want to enjoy it. Like, you know what I mean?
I think
big fluffy bear. So.
I think the verb rape suggests that it's not a consensual, pleasant experience. You know,
actually,
koala bear.
Yeah. They're meant to be evil bastards.
Yeah. Well, if they're going around raping human beings, like, it must be.
Well, I watched The Revenant. Do you watch The Revenant?
Yeah, it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I remember. I told you this story. My missus was like, "Oh, am I going to like this film?" I said, "Yeah, I think you'll like it." I said, "Look, it's a bit gruesome." She went, "Yeah, I've heard it's the film where Leonardo DiCaprio gets raped by a bear." I went,
"Everybody thought that.
Why the fuck would the bear rape him?" I said,
"Because the bear looked a bit dodgy in the trailer, obviously."
Everybody thought he actually got, yeah.
But he didn't.
I assume.
Or maybe he did.
Maybe that's why he won the Oscar.
I'm going to have to watch it again. He won the Oscar because he actually got raped by a bear.
I didn't see any. No. Cocks out or out like
he
that.
Wanted to kill him.
It's very cold. Yeah.
He didn't put his pants down or anything, did he? You know what I mean?
It'd have to be some sort of cute fluffy bear, like a koala bear or something. You know what I mean?
A care bear.
He could give you a little bit of eucalyptus or something afterwards to calm you down. And you could just have a little cuddle.
Right, now Porcelain lass. And this is very topical. If you had to do a podcast on United, Chelsea or Arsenal, which would you choose? Because we were considering changing at one point.
United, Chelsea or Arsenal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not because, well, probably because I hate the two others more as well. But I think Arsenal fans are so, they're even more delusional than some of our fans. It'd be hilarious.
That Arsenal
TV
thing
comical.
Is class, isn't it?
They're just mad.
Always on them.
We've a huge amount of tossers, but they are like, they're on a different planet.
Yeah.
Like, they are just fucking bananas.
They think they're Barcelona.
Yeah. Like, and they think, it's like they've been the dominant force in English football for 30 years.
They're behaving like
that. And therefore, you know, they have this right. And you know, they've got a couple.
Before they played Barca,
did you hear one of them?
No.
Like, they were saying, one of them was like, "Come on, Messi, come on, fucking
Pedro,
Neymar, come on, Suarez, we got." And he just starts naming shit players. We got well fucking Ramsey.
We got fucking
fucking Max.
Fucking fuck baskets.
Can. Fucking. Yes, is a right arm, mad. That can.
I'll tell you what. Fucking Per Mertesacker is going to put fucking Suarez in his pocket. Only because he's 11 foot 2 and he could physically put him in there.
You've gone full Dick Van Dyke.
Mary Poppins.
Then they lose, and then it's like,
Wenger out. It's time.
Big shout out.
They
to
had
my
a banner at the game tonight.
Here on, this is my goodbye.
Everyone see where fucking what's his face is.
What's his name?
Big shout out to my mum on Mother's Day.
Do you not remember that?
Well,
the famous one with the long
Claude.
Hair.
Claude.
What the fuck?
Is
he a famous?
Alan Davis.
No, Claude. There was a big thing on Twitter one night where, you know,
he
pray for Claude.
Himself, yeah.
And he was going to kill himself.
Genuinely.
He genuinely was.
He threatened on Twitter to kill kids.
It's not. He's alive now.
It is if you're a cunt.
We can laugh at him because he
did. It's hilarious if you're an idiot Arsenal fan threatening to do it on Twitter and then don't go through with it. It's not funny if you threaten it and then follow through.
He did a video.
Well, people who do it don't threaten it.
Very true. Well, maybe they do once or twice and then
they do. There's no real rule, but
He didn't. He didn't.
No, there's not a rule. I get that.
Like, or a set of standards. Quality, if suicide quality standards.
Before, you can't kill yourself. The police come over. No, you've told people.
Yeah.
You
can't do it now. No, you blew it.
You've got to wait till you're 90.
You blew it.
Yeah, you blew it.
You have to live.
It's all about the element of surprise, mate. It's all about the element of surprise.
You can't travel to Switzerland. You're fine. You know.
Right, last one. What's more difficult, stifling a sneeze or a yawn?
Oh, stifling a sneeze.
Why would you want to stifle a sneeze?
No, which is the most stifling.
Yeah, no, a sneeze is easy. To
is that
start.
Not like a, are you talking about a failed yawn or a failed sneeze?
No, it's like keeping it in. So like if you're there and you're going to sneeze and then you go, you know, you kind of send it all back down.
Why
towards
would you
the
do
back
that?
Of your head.
I don't know.
Because you could be around people, or like you could be on a bus where you can't just go, whatcha? Sorry about that.
No, have you ever been on a bus? But, because that's what everyone does on buses.
I haven't been on a bus since I was about 14.
That's obviously your sneeze noise. That sneeze noise?
No, that was sneeze noise. Oh, you sneeze noise. Oh, you sneeze nice.
Oh, you have a lovely sneeze.
What's a sneeze noise?
I don't know.
You said it was woosha.
No. I just said woosha. Yeah, just there now. Oh, my missus, her dad, always sounds like he's saying rasher when he sneezes. Yeah, when he's in there, he goes, rasher! 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 He always sneezes three times as well. My sister has the most ridiculous sneeze ever. Like and she's not putting it on, because if she is, like, it's the longest game ever that she's playing, because she's been doing it. She's been doing it about 30 fucking years. And she goes, it's ridiculous. And I'm fucking 34 years of age. I'm so long doing it, and still to this day when I stand beside her and she's just like, oh, you're such a fucking freak. What's fucking wrong with you? But stifling a yawn is terrible. Like if you're in a meeting and you're fucked, and then you really want to yawn, and they're making eye contact with you, and you start going to,
I don't think I could stop myself sneezing, but I have learned to stop myself yawning by grinding it into your jaw. You go,
but yawning,
you look like you're having a shit.
Yawning's contagious, though, isn't it?
Yeah, if you yawn, like everyone's going to yawn at you.
Oh, I'm thinking of yawning now.
And people always make the same joke if you yawn in a meeting. They go, boring you, am I?
Yeah,
yes,
course.
You fucking are. Yeah,
I wouldn't be fucking
that's
yawning if you were entertaining.
That's because
you're
a meeting wanker, though.
I am a meeting wanker.
Some of you have meetings. You have meetings, do you?
I have loads of meetings.
You have meetings?
Not very often.
It's not more. The worst that I
meetings
find.
Meetings are gay.
The worst
meetings are gay.
I think if you're just not engaged, then you just fall asleep. Or you spend your time going like this.
Of course, if you're tired, you'll fall asleep.
Do you have a method to get out of it?
Yeah, talk.
Talk.
I swear to God, if once you start talking, you stop feeling sleepy.
Just think about it, and just think of something to say, really, and say, "Hello."
Final question.
The door.
He just shouts out triple chats in the middle of it. I just got to ask. Sorry, quick question. Would you rather be raped by an animal or die?
I'd be afraid. I'd genuinely be afraid of speaking up.
I'm
getting so tired.
Yeah.
Getting so tired that I start rambling. And then, like, forget your point in front of the hall.
They stand up and just go, I'd just like to say one thing.
Yeah, and then just you're talking. Do you know when you're gargled? And then eventually you just go, I forget what I was saying, actually.
and then like half an hour later, it comes back to you to go, fucking hot dogs! Hot dogs! They're the best biscuits. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Right, lads, that'll do.
But no.
Admin time. Bit of the beats back this week. I know you all missed it. I wanna try. Big thanks as ever to the lads at the Astro Park for letting us use the facilities. They're very good in letting Steve in to record the pod underwater last week and the week before that. We're back to normal, and if you want to come down and play your five-a-side football, come down, get down to the Astro Park. Tell Del that we sent you, and I'm sure he'll give you a discount. Might be 1% or 1.5%. Discount's a discount at the end of the day. We've absolutely nothing to plug. But Heineken, if you're listening, we could deal with a few beers every now and then. So if you want to send them on, we'd be more than happy to take them. That's Heineken. Remember, premium quality beer, lager, stuff. Only 4 ingredients as well, supposedly.
Right, your trippers tonight, as you know, holding shop as ever was Andy Young, was Stephen Daly, was the Welsh Rarebit Dave Thomas, and of course it was myself, Phil Casey. I bothered my arse to come in and be sober this week, so there you go. Good night, good bless. We see you next week after beating United 7-0 or 2-0 or 2-1 or 1-0 or not 1 at all.
Now, what about the yawns, though? We never had a go of our all our yawns. Or not our yawns, our sneezes. Our sneeze noise. What's your sneeze noise?
I don't know.
Mine is more of a cough, supposedly. Yeah.
Do it.
I can't because I don't.
Canese.
No, it's yeah. I supposedly cough and sneeze sound the same when I do both.
What's yours like?
If I'm on my own, like in private, like
I just think a proper big out sneeze. Yeah.
Yeah. Like yeah. Do you know the way it sneezes? Like it's an at you. So yeah. I'll do that.
Yeah.
So at you. Like, as loud as possible. Because it's
really
so
get it
it's
out,
so
like,
unnatural.
Yeah.
Because like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's not how a sneeze sounds at all. Like a sneeze sounds like that's. Watch you!
Watch you! Watch you!
Someone's ringing you.
From an English number too.
No, I don't. Take it.
Would I?
Okay. Yeah, it could be Jürgen. Put them on the.
Hello. Hello.